Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 10. And the Steelers preseason came to a merciful close last night in Charlotte, Carolina, as the Steelers lost 18-6 to the Carolina Panthers. And Dave, again, it's always about individual performances. The Steelers finished the preseason 1-3. I think it makes them something like 3-15 in their last 18. But on we go with at least the vision of a meaningful game coming up the first time since the Steelers were in Denver, just 9 days away in Washington against the Skins.
Well, I don't know about you, but that fourth quarter couldn't get over quick enough against the Panthers last night. Boy, look, there was a lot of intrigue involved in that game, you know, even though all the starters were sitting out because, you know, you had a great battle at inside linebacker between three players and Steven Johnson, Tyler Matakevich, and L.J. Fort. And, of course, you had the NFL debut of Artie Burns. It was awesome to see him out there finally getting snaps as well, too. Boy, the quarterback play, you know, once Landry Jones left, even before then, yeah, I don't want to put it on Landry Jones. He only played, what, 13-something snaps and really nothing, you know, spectacular as far as the offensive line went there.
And Brent Renner was running for his life.
Boy, that kid, you know, poor guy was so gun-shy, it seemed like, with the pass rush coming, you know, didn't act like he wanted to get hit. You know, and you know, we'll talk about it here in a little bit about the team adding Zach Mettenberger, and you know, look, Bren Renner was just a body with an arm, you know, as it turns out there. So I don't know, where do you want to start? On you want to start with the injury kind of recap?
Yeah, you know, the injury situation was a good one from Mike Tomlin. Now, last week he didn't mention Gilbert, so I don't want to get too excited, but the fact that he didn't mention Ciccolo or Ricardo Matthews was obviously the positive out of that. The noted injury was Travis Feeney with a potential concussion. He was evaluated for a concussion. There hadn't been anything further on that, and that's going to be, you know, obviously that's going to play into what happens here over these next 36 hours. I don't know if that gives them an out to put him on the IR and they would want to do that for something that might last 3 to 5 days. I mean, I don't want to guess on the impact, but that certainly impacted his playing time last night and obviously therefore may have impacted his roster status.
Yeah, Feeney, look, I mean, he was on the outside looking in before this game even got underway, and you know,
and Dave, that was the interesting thing, at least from my perspective going into the game. All of a sudden, some of the guys that I talk to on a regular basis, the Jerry Dulac, Mark Caboli, some others, Dale Lawley, who, you know, they have guys whisper in their ear sometimes, and all of a sudden the buzz was around Travis Feeney being a guy, because of the measurables, because of he's a guy who runs a 4.5 at his size, being a guy who they felt like was going to actually make the 53. So it was just interesting to hear the narrative change in the last 36 hours going into that game, and then, unfortunately for him, didn't get to play the second half.
Yeah, I really – look, we'll see what happens with this thing, obviously, by Saturday evening. But I haven't understood, you know, the thing with Feeney and insisting that he needs to be on the field. Look, if people are thinking – I can understand somewhat maybe – an argument as to why you can't waive Tyler Matakevich, but I mean, in no way whatsoever can I fathom a reason why Feeney should be on this 53-man roster, and let alone, you know, look, you got to have an inactive list every week, and you know, Feeney unlikely to dress even if he was to be on the initial 53. Just missed so much time during training camp and the preseason. Only played, I think, what did I say, four special team snaps heading into the game Thursday night. I just don't see it. So
let me make the argument for Feeney if anybody wants to hear it. is, you know who the path to being a player who participates for the Steelers is different for Feeney than it is for Matakevich. I mean, you look at Matakevich and you say, okay, at the inside linebacker position, maybe Timmons is gone, but you've got Vince Williams and Ryan Shazier under contract. You got, you know, depending on what you think of the guys, you've got L.J. Ford and Steven Johnson. And whatever you think of L.J. Ford, he ran in front of Matakevich the entire preseason in terms of being a second-team guy versus a third-team guy. And then the second part is, you know, on the outside, you're going to lose James Harrison next year. You're potentially losing Jarvis Jones. Now, again, I'm not projecting either of these guys to be starters in the Steelers defense, maybe at any point ever. They're, you know, sixth and seventh round picks. The only thing I will tell you is, obviously, going into it, when they both arrived, the Steelers liked Feeney better than Matakevich. They drafted him a round earlier. So if they still think that potential there is worth something, you know, then that's the question. And I think at least we're in agreement, Dave, that maybe the last roster spot comes down to those two guys. And the fact of the matter is, if the Steelers claim anybody on waivers, those two guys who either or will probably be the guy who gets bounced if that were to be the case, because I think we're both talking about 11 possible linebackers.
Yeah, and I think in recent comparisons, if you wanted to make one, David, with Travis Feeney would be somewhere along the lines of maybe a Howard Jones. And, you know, remember how people said you can't cut him. And you know, he obviously was – you know, jettisons, and he's on Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. Now, he became a pretty, you know, part-time decent pass rusher for them. But in the same breath, Feeney needs to put on some weight. He needs to get stronger. You know, if he was out there cracking skulls on special teams and making, you know, three special teams tackles a game, then. You know, that would be a good argument, but he wasn't able to do that. I just see no issue with having him on the practice squad even throughout the entire regular season, you know, if you ask me. But the other injuries there, Anthony Ciccolo, as you mentioned, with a foot, that, you know, we'll take Mike Tomlin on his word that there were no significant injuries in this game. So hopefully he'll be fine for the opener. And the same goes for Ricardo Matthews, who, after he got kind of tackled on one of those plays, what was it, third or fourth quarter, he left the game with an apparent neck injury. And once again, we'll have to take Mike Tomlin at his word with the no significant injuries, because this team really needs Ricardo Matthews, especially with Cameron Hayward currently dealing with that ankle injury that he suffered last week. So, you know, these are definitely injuries that could potentially shape the initial 53-man roster moving forward. And, you know, Shamarco didn't play in this game against the Panthers, and really we don't really know the status of that groin injury of his. That could obviously shape the 53-man roster. And then Bud Dupree didn't play the entire preseason, and boy, is that concerning as it relates to him. And hopefully he'll be ready to go for the start of the regular season as well.
Yeah, and Bud said the other day that, you know, he's hoping to be 90%. You know, so, and he didn't know if he would go or not. So it wasn't as if he's saying, you know, I'm going to be, you know, when the season rolls around, I'm going to be good to go and feeling great and 100%. He was talking about less than 100% for this first game. So I just wonder if the Steelers will just play it cautious, and, you know, if Dupree doesn't get a – obviously, you know, we know how Mike Tomlin works. If Dupree isn't out there practicing over the weekend – and, you know, kind of into the week. I don't know. I'm guessing the Steelers schedule is off today. Maybe some light work Saturday and or Sunday, off Monday, and then kind of get into the regular weekly practice schedule on Tuesday. I mean, they've got a lot of extra time here, so that's a positive. But, you know, maybe you just play it conservatively and give Arthur Motes the go and try and get Dupree 100% back for week two. Dave, let's before we get further into the game, let's talk about the big acquisition the Steelers made, or, you know, significant in terms of the position, of course, in the waiver claim for Zach Mettenberger. And this is a guy who apparently in May, when he was cut by the Titans, the Steelers put in, along with a lot of other teams, put in a waiver claim. But because the waiver claims went according to draft order, San Diego was, you know, third or fourth or fifth, whatever they were in terms of that order. So they got the waiver claim. He was obviously with Ken Wisenhunt. They've got their backup situation in San Diego was already sorted out. And this kid from Arizona State, this free agent, undrafted free agent quarterback from Arizona State has looked good. So they decided to have him be the developmental guy. And Mettenberger is cut free, and he's now a Pittsburgh Steeler. And certainly, you know, I didn't really expect Gradkowski to make the roster once he was injured. But then we started thinking about all sorts of machinations on Monday where they could actually cut Gradkowski and bring him back a week or two later, and you'd still be in the same situation. But this is really a pick for 2017, a claim for 2017, because Landry Jones isn't under contract after this year, and Mettenberger will have another year on his deal. So, you know, I kind of like it, Dave, in terms of who else was out there and what they were going to get. I don't mind this at all.
Yeah, I wrote pretty extensively about this on Thursday. You look at Mettenberger so far in the NFL and what he's gone through. He, of course, drafted by the Titans the first couple seasons there, waived by them, and then rejoins Ken Wisenhunt and John McNulty in San Diego. And, you know, McNulty was the quarterback coach, Mettenberger's first quarterback coach in Tennessee. And if I would have thrown his name out, you wouldn't even known who he was, McNulty, right?
Right.
Okay. So, you know, it's not
the guy on the wire.
Right. I don't even know what that means. So, is that a TV show?
Yeah, the old TV show of Baltimore Cops. I think the lead Baltimore detective or cop was a guy named McNulty.
All right. Let me pull my pad and pen out here to write down that I learned something today. But, yeah, you know, McNulty's not going to be accused of being a quarterback whisperer. And when you think back, even though Wisenhunt was Ben Roethlisberger's first offensive coordinator, Wisenhunt's never officially held the title of a quarterback coach, you know, while in the NFL. So can we really say that Ken Wisenhunt is a quarterback whisperer? I don't think many people would think of him as being that. So fast forward now to Mettenberger being claimed off of waivers from you know by the Titans from the Chargers or by the Chargers. His quarterback coach over this last couple of months is a guy named Shane Stichen, a former collegiate quarterback who spent the last two seasons as the Chargers' offensive quality control coach, working primarily with their wide receivers. So you're definitely not going to be accused this guy of being a quarterback whisperer. I guess long story short here is, David, you know I'm a huge fan of Randy Fittner. And Randy Fittner, prior to joining, you know, the Steelers coaching staff, was obviously an offensive coordinator / quarterbacks coach in college. I've written extensively many, many moons ago about what he did at Memphis with the, you know, slew of quarterbacks that he had there. If anybody can fix Mettenberger, it's probably Fittner. Now, make no mistake, he's going to have his hands full, and in no way am I predicting that Randy Fittner is going to be able to pull that off. But it gives him a year now with Mettenberger as a scout team quarterback. And then, you know, hopefully we're going to wait until the 2017 preseason to really see what the team has in Mettenberger. And by claiming him, it doesn't mean that the team, assuming that they lose Landry Jones during free agency, during the offseason, it doesn't prevent this team from drafting a quarterback in, say, round 3, 4, 5, you know, whatever, next year. So I'm with you. I understand the move. And if they can turn Mettenberger into a one-year backup or a multiple-year backup to Ben Roethlisberger, well, then it's a low-risk, high-reward type of move. So, and plus, look, it solves this number three quarterback issue, and I think being in that room with Ben Roethlisberger, with Randy Fittner, Bruce Gradkowski will probably be around for the season as well, too. You know, we'll see what we get here.
Yeah, I'm with you on all of that. Look, for those who don't remember Mettenberger, his physical traits, he is the prototypical heavy-footed, big-armed, and really big-armed quarterback in the mold of Kerry Collins or someone like that. I mean, just a Drew Bledsoe type, a guy who is not, you know, he's not going to be scrambling or elusive in the pocket, but he can sling it in a big way. And he, you know, he's started games in the NFL, so there's that pedigree. But he had a tremendous amount of talent at LSU. He had Jarvis Landry, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, a bunch of, you know, great receivers, and didn't do a lot in college. And fell in the draft. He was a guy who was going to go in the top two or three rounds, and he went in the sixth round of the Titans. He's not necessarily seen as being a wonderful locker room guy as well. I imagine that'll change rather quickly in Pittsburgh, or better change rather quickly in Pittsburgh. So he was seen as being somewhat arrogant. And, you know, look, you come into the NFL and you play quarterback, you better have a certain level of confidence and arrogance. So, you know, I don't know the guy. I've never said a word to him, obviously, so I'm not going to pound too much on the character thing, but that's some of the things that I've heard about him. So we'll see where it goes. It does answer that quarterback question. And, Dave, let me just ask you, I still think the odds are very high. The Steelers will look in rounds 3 through 5 next year to take a quarterback. And now if they sign Landry Jones before the draft to, you know, a 3-year deal – well, let's ask that question, too. If they sign Jones to the draft, then maybe that changes. Maybe they're not going to look. But if they don't, they will certainly be in the market for a quarterback. So now let me ask you. Do you sign Landry Jones to a 3-year, $9 million contract?
No. Yeah, wow, that's – I mean, look.
How about a 2-year, $5 million contract?
Here's the thing. Could he I want to reverse engineer this somehow and say, would Landry Jones be smart to take a contract for that averages $3 million a season?
I think knowing that you're going to get the first year, if Landry Jones can earn $3 million playing football, I think you got to take it.
So that's, man.
He's not going to get $5 million on the open market, right? He's certainly not going to get Chase Daniel $7 million type of dollars on the open market. So what's his market value out there? I got to think it's $2 to $3
million. Yeah, and, yeah, that's tough, you know. Look, I mean, he's not going to start in Pittsburgh for as long as Roethlisberger's around. We know that, and that's going to be another 3 years. So does he want a better shot at maybe at least getting an opportunity to compete in a less secure situation in the NFL and maybe give up a few bucks? That's tough, you know. That's tough. Is he even worth $3 million, though? That's the question, you know.
Well, that's okay. So the question then is, can you find a Zach Mettenberger for $600,000, or can you find a Bruce Gradkowski for $1.5 million or something like that? I mean, the answer is, do you want to lock up what you know for 2.5 or 3 or whatever the number? I wouldn't go past 3. I'm not sure I'd go to 3, but I certainly would do right now. I would do 2 years, $5 million.
Well, more than anything, the addition with of Mettenberger at least gives you an experienced guy that, you know, I don't want to say using leverage, but I guess using leverage, so to speak. And we won't learn anything about Mettenberger, you know, hopefully until next year during the preseason, if things go the way all of us hope they go. I could see this team drafting. Here's the thing. Mettenberger's contract only runs through 2017. So
Right. He's on his rookie deal, right? So he'll be making, you know, $600,000
or something. Yeah, $690,000 in 2017. So why not go ahead and draft a guy next year, if you do lose Jones, and you should know by the time the draft comes around whether or not you lost.
Yeah, he'll be signed or not. Yeah, you know, he'll be done.
So why not invest a third, fourth, fifth, you know, something like that in a quarterback that can sit behind Roethlisberger and maybe Mettenberger, and, you know, after Mettenberger, you know, then you make a decision. Have you seen enough from Mettenberger to sign him to a $1.5 million a year extension, you know?
Right.
Kind of thing. So a problem for a later day for sure, but it's hard to argue with the move. And look, this is it for Bruce Gradkowski, right?
Absolutely. Unfortunate way for his I would assume his NFL career to end, but certainly his Steeler career. I just he's not going to get a chance to see the light of day. So he'll make his $1 million this year. You know, I don't want to say it's a blessing to get hurt and get paid. I'm sure he'd much rather be healthy and out there, but he'll be, you know, maybe he'll be effectively a coach-ish type of guy on the sidelines. He was a guy who was around all last year. He didn't leave the team. He was part of what was going on all last year while he was getting paid on the IR, and I'm sure, like you pointed out, it'll be the same this year. So,
real quick thing about Bruce Gronkowski is he's got a split salary, so he's going to make less this year than what he originally signed for. And on top of that, you know, depending on the seriousness of this hamstring injury, you know, once he's healed, he might go to the Steelers and say, look, can you just waive me from IR? And that could help both parties. You know, Bruce could at least be out there on the open market and maybe with the injuries or whatnot get a shot at another team. Or conversely, if something should happen with the Steelers, at least he'd, you know, be out there that you could bring him back to the roster.
There's a time frame on that. And are they allowed to re-sign him after a month or something? I mean, because they couldn't just, if Mettenberger got hurt on Wednesday, they couldn't waive him injured and re-sign him, right? There has to be a time.
Well, you know, with an injury settlement, there is a time frame. Now, I'm not. I need to research whether or not, say, a guy is completely healthy and on IR, and you waive him, you know, you release him healthy from injured reserve. I'm not sure of the time frame there that you could turn around and bring him back. One would think for a competitive nature aspect that there would be some sort of time frame involved of releasing even a healthy player from IR. You know, that way you're just not stashing guys on IR, yep. You know, and cutting them loose and then turn around and signing them back to the roster next week, you know, that kind of thing. So that's just an option. Once again, we're leave it to me to go off on things that probably don't really matter.
Well, no, it's a good point because, you know, it does give him an opportunity, would give him that opportunity to play again. Now, having said that, maybe he just says, look, you know, it is what it is. So I'm going to be with the Steelers and enjoy that year. So, okay, Dave, just in terms of kind of splicing in a couple comments about the game last night, offensive line play was horrendous for the Steelers. Understandably, a lot of these guys, I mean, you posted a list after the game of 15 guys who would be cut without even, you know, starting to look at the list. And, you know, I think four of them were offensive linemen. You had to keep these guys around to play in this game. There's no continuity to any of it. They missed some line calls. They missed guys coming off the edge. So it wasn't pretty in the second half. But I would say if somebody made an impression in that game offensively, I'd say the one guy would be Darrell Richardson. He took one around the left edge for 26, 27 yards. He showed some nice burst again. Not that there was a question mark about his roster spot, but, you know, when you only gain 122 yards in the whole game offensively, you have the ball for a total of, I don't know, what is it, 18 minutes or 16, you know, they hardly possessed the ball. They had 8 first downs, but if there was a bright spot, he would be the lone bright spot on offense.
Yeah, and I thought Filer, who played right guard, did some nice things during the game. And look, I think the best play that the offensive line had all night was the short touchdown run.
Yeah, it did open up a couple nice holes,
you know,
there.
They blew that defensive line off the ball, even though, you know, those are potential furniture movers here in the next couple of days. So. But, you know, I think maybe outside of Darrell Richardson, you could maybe point to Matt Filer as being a guy that, you know, say, okay, there's a little something there. I'd really like to see him land on the practice squad, to be quite honest with you. I mean, they're going to probably keep one, maybe two offensive linemen on the practice squad. I think he has a good chance at being one of those guys.
Okay, so when we kind of let's get the offense out of the way, because I think it's pretty straightforward that, you know, you're gonna have three quarterbacks on the offense. We know who on the roster. You're gonna have four running backs with Roosevelt, Nix, and Le'Veon on the suspended list. You're gonna have the five wide receivers. Pretty straightforward with Ladarius Green on the PUP. They will be looking for tight ends on the waiver wire, I am sure. Xavier Grimble did nothing in training camp to lock up his spot. You know, he dropped another ball last night. He has been erratic in the preseason. I'm hoping for more from him and didn't really see it. And then the question, Dave, is to me, it's just a very simple question of do you keep 8 or 9 offensive linemen? So it's just a question of is B.J. Finney on the roster? Do they try to get him to the practice squad? And you know, that's it for the offense. That's really the only question that I see.
Boy, for all the hype on Xavier Grimble going back to what, the middle of last season, he sure did. I feel a little cheated, you know.
Yeah, me too, because I bought in pretty hard.
Very, very, very inconsistent during the preseason. And I'm with you. Look, I released my 53-man roster, my prediction right before we got on here, and I have Xavier Grimble on the initial 53, but we know how fluid that this thing, the initial 53 Tuesday night's probably not going to look like the one that the team takes to Washington Monday night. It would not surprise me at all to see this team go out and get a kind of a 1 or 2 year, 3 year guy that's probably more blocker, you know, than maybe a pass catcher to kind of shore up that position, because I don't see how you can have a lot of faith in Xavier Grimble. Not a great special, you know, didn't really stand out on special teams throughout the preseason as well too. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm really, really, really looking at these round of cuts to see if I can come away with an upgrade over Xavier Grimble until Ladarius Green, when and if Ladarius Green makes it back to this team. And as far as
and positive comments from Kevin Colbert in the pregame.
Yeah, I don't know.
He went out there, put his neck out there a little bit, and said if the pup list was 3 or 4 weeks, we would expect that's about the time frame we expect him back. So obviously it's not, it's 6 weeks. But Kevin Colbert made it sound like he expects Ladarius now. Look, they expected him to be ready around the time the regular season, the training camp opened. So, you know, they've missed once. So take it for whatever you want, you know, with a grain of salt, or however seriously you want to take it. But he did put a time frame on it to make it sound like he will be ready soon.
Yeah, and as the old, one of my favorite saying goes, I couldn't help but thinking this while, and I watched Kevin Colbert utter those words, is don't tell me about the labor pains, just show me the baby.
yeah.
You know, so I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to Ladarius Green, and I hope he is indeed back in week 7, because this team needs to start getting a return on that investment and having that kind of weapon that they kind of hoped he would be. You know, you talk about the offensive line, David. I kept 9 on my 53. It made it a little bit easier with Gerald Hawkins going to reserve injured. But however come, I made sure to add this in there. If I knew for a fact that Cody Wallace was healthy right now with that knee injury that he suffered a couple weeks ago, it sure would be tempting to only keep 8 offensive linemen, because obviously you're not going to address all these guys. If you look back to the Steelers team last year, the 53 that they took to New England, they only had 8 offensive linemen there. So, you know, if you had somebody else that you felt you had to have to field, 46 guys that you wanted to field in the preseason opener, I could understand a decision being made to cut either Chris Hubbard or B.J. Finney and only carry 8. But that, you know, that all depends on Cody Wallace and his health.
I'll make the bet that as waiver claims, if the Steelers make more than one waiver claim, you will see them get to 8 offensive linemen at one point. As you pointed out, look, maybe it's 9 initially, but if they start moving bodies around, this is a body that's going to get moved to the 9th offensive lineman. So we're on the same page on that. On the defensive side of the ball in this game, Dave, you know, I've been banging the drum pretty hard for L.J. Fort. We saw good things from Ricardo Matthews. We saw good things from Arthur Motes in this game. The run game was not particularly good. Where do you want to start? Let's start with Javon Hargrave. He got the start. Is Javon Hargrave – I mean, look, they're going to play different roles. McCullers is going to be a base defense guy, and Hargrave is going to be less of a base defense guy. He's going to be more sub-package guy. But are we to the point where now we expect them to, at worst, split snaps – and get, you know, about 15 to 20 each?
Yeah, I think that's a safe safe assumption. I mean, I think Hargrave's going to see the field. I don't know how much to, and I think Matthew's got a post coming up on Steelers Depot about this, or already had one this morning, as it relates to McCullers and Hargrave, and Hargrave getting, you know, getting the first playing time against the Panthers. I think they wanted to see Hargrave more in kind of that base front. I think that's the meaning behind that. I think you will see Daniel McCullers start the season as the base nose tackle, but they won't be afraid to bring Hargrave in nickel situations, I don't think. And I, you know, I think there will be times where you will see him as the base 3-4 nose tackle as well, too. Make no mistake, Daniel McCullers' time has been ticking and is ticking even faster right now. Now, will he be on this team throughout the 2016 season? There's probably no reason to think otherwise. But past this season, man, just not enough, you know?
Not enough. Yeah, they really like this kid, Hooks. And when they talk about guys going to the practice squad, he is a guy, he's played in the league, right? He played with Green Bay. He is a guy who's going to go to the practice squad. So he might just be in the back of your mind, a guy to keep an eye on.
Yeah, he could be the new Steve McClendon, right? Stash him there for a couple of years and develop him, and maybe you get a backup out of him, and who knows down the line, you know, spot starter, whatnot. I mean, obviously Hargrave's hopefully is going to be around for many moons to come.
Forever.
Jay Wobble. Any arguments with the six that I'm keeping? David Hayward, Tuitt, McCullers, Ricardo Matthews, Javon Hargrave, and LT Walton?
No, I think Keshad Lyon and Hooks are both practice squad candidates, but those are the six. Walton's bigger, stronger than Lyons, and he's going to be the guy. And this has gone from a position of weakness at the end of last year to a position of strength, and I think you can make an argument that it's the deepest position on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I know there are a ton of linebackers involved here, but I think you may have more talent on the defensive line in terms of what you've got now. So I feel really comfortable with what they did in the offseason. It's just you got Matthews and you got Hargrave, so and LT Walton's a year older. So it's just a huge upgrade in terms of the talent level. So, yeah, I think that, the whole conversation rests around the ninth offensive lineman and the linebackers and defensive backs in terms of the roster. So, yep, I'm with you on
that.
And
I think a guy like Keshad Lyons, if you wanted to keep two defensive linemen on your practice squad, Lyons and, say, Hooks or something like that, I think that's very plausible. Lyons, look, the only real question we have about the numbers versus defensive linemen on the first 53, 6 versus 7, all revolves around, I think, the neck injury suffered by Matthews and then the status of Cameron Hayward and his ankle. You know, if you think there's a chance that both those guys are going to miss the game against the Redskins, well, then obviously you might have to think about carrying Keshad Lyons for week one or week two. But I went with the six that I named there.
Yeah, so, okay, that's that status. Now, let's talk about performance again in the game. LJ Ford all over the place. Jordan Dangerfield all over the place. You know, we mentioned some of the defensive line play, and we mentioned Motes. The guy's got a lot of opportunities when you're getting out snapped about 3-1, as it was. I think the first half was 45-18 in terms of offensive snaps. Did any other guys impress or not impress, for that matter? And, Artie Burns and Sean Davis are obviously two of the guys.
Yeah, Artie had, I think, some issues against the run. You'd like to see him read and react and kind of make sure he knows to stay at home and kind of, force things inside. Stuff like he's going to learn, that kind of stuff.
He got an earful from Steven Johnson when they came around left end and Johnson collapsed and already got caught up inside and went for 18 yards or something.
Yeah, but look, I mean, it had to feel like a field day for Artie Burns against the Panthers, right? Because no number 84 having to guard 84 – on the other side. So he was probably thinking, man, what the heck's going on? You know, why did this thing slow down all of a sudden to me? And hopefully that was indeed the case for Burns. So, look, I mean, I don't think the Steelers are going to have to rely on him early on in the season, and he can be brought along at his own pace. I think the most curious thing with Artie Burns, and probably not overly surprising, they probably wanted him to concentrate on defense. No special team snaps in that game, on the NFL game book, and we'll have to see if our charting throughout the week ends up matching that. But that's the only bit of concern I would see there. But I can understand. Look, this is a guy's first.
He's going to get 65 defensive snaps. Did he play the whole game?
No, not the whole game, but quite a bit of it. Quite a bit of it. And plus, look, he's coming off of a quad. Do you really want him running down there covering punts and kickoffs would probably a tender quad and all like that? So I thought Chicolo did some nice things early on before he left injured. Obviously, Arthur Motes, I thought, had a good game as well. A couple of sacks in there. Who else? Sean Davis looked comfortable back there.
I think Sean, we're going to see Javon Hargrave and Sean Davis get a lot of snaps right from the get-go. I mean, we were talking at the beginning of the season, snaps that they play. I mean, Sean Davis could play, he could play 900 snaps. I mean, he could be playing 50 snaps a game. I mean, you look at him almost as a starter, a regular, and they're going to be in sub-package so much. So, 800, 900 snaps, well, whatever the number is, he's going to be out in the field all the time.
Yeah, and the thing about him is he's a multiple position player. Got work in the slot, got work at safety during the preseason. His conditioning with all the snaps that he played, and Mike Tomlin praised it even before the preseason got underway, talking about Sean Davis and his conditioning, and he really ought to be primed and ready to go for the season. Look, Duran Grant, he's got his warts on him, but I mean, you don't.
He does. And he looked like he blew another coverage in this one.
And you just have to crush.
I don't have much confidence.
Yeah, he's just going to be a depth guy, but unfortunately, he's a depth guy that I think I have ahead of Artie Burns on a depth chart right now. So, I think you turn to a guy like Duran Grant before you do Artie Burns on the outside, maybe.
Yeah, hopefully that changes by about week three.
Yeah, and who knows with Cinquez Golson? If they can get this kid back, during the middle of the season, maybe he can alleviate some of your problems and at the nickel position. David, I don't know about you, but I don't see how this team doesn't, during this during this upcoming dance, that we're going to have over the next couple of days. I just don't see how you go out there and try to find yourself another Ross Cockrell, only this time one that can maybe play in the slot.
I 100% think they're going because they're look, Al Shabazz and Montrell Garner, they're just
guys.
Unless the Steelers are desperate, they're not making this cut, so they're going to get cut, and the Steelers don't have enough guys. And this is where this is what's going to keep either Feeney or Matakevich or this is what's going to keep them on the team, because the Steelers have carried 10 defensive backs before, and they're going to carry 9 and that's with a guy who can't play. So you're going to get to 8 immediately, and so they're going to have to get somebody else, particularly then when you think about Artie Burns being behind the curve and Shamarco Thomas being injured. I mean, you're paper thin at defensive back, and that's the problem, And if you want the silver lining here, folks, the issue is this is a team now that you can look and hope and keep your fingers crossed in the Great Pumpkin Patch that by the time the Great Pumpkin comes back, Cinquez Golson and Ladarius Green and Artie Burns, and maybe, whatever you want to say about Bud Dupree, but Artie Burns, those three guys are integrated into the team sometime November 1st, so that, in the stretch run toward the playoffs, the Steelers could have three guys who, are significant contributing, who aren't going to be significant and contributing at all to start the season.
I know Shabazz has a little bit of probably second to Matakevich kind of I don't want to say cult following.
Why doesn't L.J. Ford have any cult following? He's a white linebacker.
Easy now. Here's the thing. Shabazz did some nice things during the preseason. He got a lot of burn on special teams. But let me ask you this. If you kept a guy like Shabazz to be your fifth corner, are you going to dress him?
Not unless you think he's a special teams all-star. I mean, that's kind of the same thing that we talk about, you know, with Matakevich. Is Matakevich going to dress? I mean, you're keeping him for special teams, but you're not going to dress him. I mean, it's kind of a – that's why when people – the debate about Matakevich and Finney is if you're not going to dress either of them, the physically more gifted athlete, the higher upside guy is definitely Finney. So if Matakevich isn't actually going to play on special teams – then wouldn't you keep the other guy? That's kind of a different way to look at it.
And here's the thing about Garner, probably the only other guy that you know really plays slot with him. You know, some people clamoring to maybe keep him around. He didn't hardly get any special team snaps. You know, so why in the heck are you going to keep a guy that's probably going to be inactive, and especially being as how he didn't play any special team snaps? So like I said, I you're in agreement with me on this. I will be shocked if this team shows up in Washington without somebody not on the roster right now that can play cornerback.
And maybe tight end.
Yeah, and tight end. Now, here's the thing about the safety position that really makes this tough. If I knew Shamarco Thomas was ready to go, then I'd probably keep four safeties. But Jordan Dangerfield can play special teams for you. In a pinch, you know, he can play safety for you. I have Jordan Dangerfield making this team at least initially, and then he's kind of the guy that, once again, you could – play shuffle with between the 53 and the practice squad, and not worry about, you know, him going anywhere here. So I have 10 corners on my initial 53.
Ten defensive backs.
Cinquez being one of those, and of course that stay is going to be just a few hours, and then the Jordan Dangerfield essentially being number 9 or number 10, however you want to look at it.
So who where are you missing a guy? How many linebackers do you have? 10?
I have 10, and you're on.
So who Steven Johnson doesn't make it, or who didn't make
Your
it?
Your Honor, I'd like the state to present its case here. Listen, I am not scared about Matakevich clearing waivers should that ultimately be the case. I have him on my 53. I kept Steven Johnson because I just think that personally I think this team values his special teams play more than any of the three. So that's,
and I also think, I will add, I also think when you sign veterans, you want to do everything, you know, it's a sign that you guys look to the next years, you know. So when an Arthur Moat signs or even a Cam Thomas signs, guys look and say, look, when they signed veterans in the past, they make a pledge to keep them. I almost think, you know, that they guys like that, like Steven Johnson, like Ricardo Matthews, have a handshake. You will be on the 53-man roster. So it's good PR. All things being equal, some people are saying keep the younger guy. Well, but keep the guy who's going to help your team more this year, and I don't think Steven Johnson is going to hurt your team this year.
I agree. Now, then it became a question of do I keep L.J. Fort and Tyler Matakevich, and I way overthought this just like I always do every year at this time. How many linebackers are you going to dress for a game, David?
Well, that's just it. So you're dressing, you know, if you just dress Chickalo, you could dress 10 if you're dressing Steven Johnson to play special teams. You could dress 9 if you're going to play special teams. And it's the issue again with Fort, Matakevich, and Feeney is these guys aren't going to play. They're going to be, you know, who's the best special teams player? Is that what it comes down to? Or who has the most developmental potential? I think Feeney has the most developmental potential. I'm not sure who the best special teams player is.
Well, here's the thing.
Steven Johnson is.
Let's assume Anthony Chickalo is healthy. He's going to dress, right?
Yeah, he's going to dress. They're going to dress all five outside guys.
Okay. So that means, you know, I don't think you're going to dress five inside linebackers to go along with that. If we're keeping Steve, or if I'm keeping Steven Johnson because I think he's going to be your special teams captain or whatever, you know, four teams kind of guy, then that means somebody has to sit. So why would you keep LJ Fort over Tyler Matakavich just to make him inactive?
I mean, I think I'll just throw it back at you and say, why would you keep Tyler Matakavich over Travis Feeney just to make him inactive?
Just to have him there and have him develop it and go from there, you know?
Yeah, but if you look at all three guys, the most physically gifted player is Feeney. So if you're going to take a guy for a redshirt year, he would be the guy you would pick.
In other words, Feeney, are you talking Feeney or Fort?
Feeney.
I mean, Feeney to me, I mean, I'm not positive.
He's the most gifted physically of the three of them. The most talented guy, the most talented football player of the three of them. He's the most talented. Now, doesn't mean he's the one who can help you the most right now, but just like when they drafted him, they took him ahead of Matakavich, I think they'd still tell you that he's the guy because he can run the way he can run. That he's, if none of them are going to play and you had a redshirt one of them, you'd pick Feeney, I think. I'd pick Feeney. Let's put it that way.
Let me tell you this. Let me expand on my thoughts on Feeney here real quick. It would not shock me if Feeney is not on the 2017 53-man roster.
I agree.
I mean, what has he done? I mean, okay, he's athletic, but I mean.
I'm not lauding his play. I'm not telling you anything different. Look, you've watched the games and the film just like I have. I'm just saying, if you were going to redshirt a guy because of what you think he might become, he's probably got the most physical gifts to be a talented guy.
And I think you have less shot at losing a guy like Feeney during the season off of the practice squad than you would a guy like Matakavich. Look, we talk so much about this guy won't get claimed, initial cutdowns, this guy won't get claimed. Where the threat comes with these younger players is week 4, 5, 6, you know, when you get into October and November and some of these teams are out of it and they're starting to want to look at guys for maybe 2017. It was really a coin flip in my opinion. That look, they cut Fort last year, you know, during the final round of cuts, and kept, you know, kept him on the practice squad. I ended up going with Matakavich because of his upside, and that's about it. You know, I don't expect him to get a helmet. You know, if Chickalo's healthy for week one, so that's pretty much what it boils. This could very, you know what, David, this could very well turn up being Steven Johnson being the odd man out.
Yeah, David, that just goes back to what I said. Did they have a handshake agreement that he's going to make the team? And I can't remember. Refresh my memory. Did Steven Johnson sign a 2-year deal with the Steelers?
No, it was one of those 1-year deals, and with the minimum signing bonus. And in fact, I think $25,000 of it, or something along those lines, some amount of that is dependent on him making the final 53.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess he's in play. He's been a decent special teams player, and again, LJ Fort ran in front of him all season long in terms of the base defense. So maybe the Steelers think more of LJ Fort in terms of what he can do. It's hard for me to imagine that all season long a guy's running next to Vince Williams as, you know, 3 and 4 at inside linebacker, and you keep the two guys behind him. So, and Fort was good last night. He had 10 tackles in the first half, 3 unassisted. You know, he did some good stuff on special teams. I mean, look, the answer is we are spending a lot of time on the last guys and the likelihood of any of these guys impacting the Steelers this year or any time down the road is pretty minimal. So whichever way it goes, I'm not going to be clamoring that they made a bad decision. I'm not going to rear view mirror this and say, you know, clearly the right thing was to take this guy. I will just repeat for the 50th time, that I think, like you, any of the three of those guys who get waived are going to clear waivers and can get to the practice squad. And we'll see. I wouldn't assume that Feeney's injury is significant enough to put him on the injured reserve, but that would be a way to stash a guy and give him that red shirt year, obviously, which is what is happening to some degree with Hawkins.
Real quick, the Steelers have $25,000 invested in Steven Johnson. He stands to make another $55,000 if he makes the 53-man roster. So they don't have, hardly anything invested with him. $25,000 is it.
Okay, so that's fair enough. That's good to know. And maybe that makes that decision all a little bit easier to keep the younger guy. So, I mean, Dave, the five guys that we're talking about making up maybe the last two to three spots, and then one of them maybe recovered with Senquez Golson, are B.J. Finney on the offense, and then Steven Johnson, L.J. Fort, Travis Feeney, Tyler Matakevich, and Jordan Dangerfield. Because everybody else is on the roster, whether you like him or not. I mean, Xavier Grimble's on the roster, and he may not be if they claim a tight end. But it's those five guys competing for a couple spots. And I don't think Keshad Lyons or Hooks, I don't think those guys are quite there to that point. But I think it's those five guys competing for, depending on how you view Senquez Golson spots, two or three spots.
Yeah, fair enough. Who are the five inside guys that you think they're going to keep here? You think Matakevich is gone? You keeping Steven Johnson and Fort?
Yeah, those are the two I'm keeping. And like I said, look, if it goes the other way, it goes the other way. I'm not going to shed any tears. But yes, I think they definitely keep Fort. Let's put it that way. I hadn't really considered Johnson as a guy being cut, but I've given that more consideration in the last 12 hours, and I guess that's possible. But I would lean to Fort and Johnson and Matakevich. If they keep 11 linebackers, it's between Matakevich and Feeney. If they keep 10, I think both Feeney and Matakevich get waived.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, like I said, I think this could go three days. We could be sitting here on Monday talking about, man, Steven Johnson was the odd man out. They kept Matakevich and Fort. Or, I mean, you could mix and match those three players in sets, and I really think it could go either way. Because, quite honestly, David, I thought all three played well during the preseason.
They did, and that's the good thing is all three inside guys did play well. So, Dave, all right, let's just play a quick little game of you got to sit eight guys in week one to get from 53 to 45. Zach Mettenberger's one.
Seven guys. You sit seven guys.
To get to 46, right? 46, is that right? So, yeah, seven guys, sorry. So Zach Mettenberger's one. The eighth offensive lineman is two. If you want to say nine offensive linemen, that's three. LT Walton is four.
I already reversed engineered this.
Okay, one of your inside linebackers is five. Who are the other two?
All right, here's my initial group of seven inactives. B.J. Finney.
Yeah.
Whatever cornerback gets picked up.
Okay.
Chris Hubbard, because you have Ryan Harris, right? And I'm assuming Cody Wallace is going to play. Zach Mettenberger.
Yep.
Shamarco Thomas.
Okay. Well, I'm not. I'm dressing Shamarco. If he's healthy, he's dressing
well, it's
right.
Well, Shamarco or Dangerfield's down, right?
Yeah. So let's. Okay. Dangerfield. Okay. Dangerfield's fine. That's
LT
five.
LT Walton.
Yep. And then who's your seven?
Tyler Matakevich.
Some inside linebacker.
Those are my guy. Those are my seven inactives. So.
Yeah, that's how it looks to me. I mean, look, we're in agreement here, and it's just literally it's five names for three spots, I think, and maybe four spots when one gets called back. So we'll see. It's what do we usually get this early afternoon Saturday, right? 2 o'clock Saturday.
Well, they'll probably run this thing right up to 4 o'clock Eastern time, like they did this past week. But some of the names obviously should slip out early. And
DeMarcus Harris get to the practice squad, seventh round pick.
Are you asking if he gets claimed off waivers? I mean, he'll be.
No. Did they sign him to the practice squad?
I have him there, David, but I'm not 100% confident that you have to go that way. I mean,
do you have Kobe Hamilton? Do you have Kobe Hamilton there too?
Yeah, I have Kobe Hamilton there as well too. Here are my practice squad guys: Xavier Grimble, LJ Fort.
Wait, Xavier Grimble?
Grimble? After he's
after they claim a tight end in college.
Okay. I had to explain that in my final 53 so people didn't think, you double dipping there. Xavier Grimble, LJ Fort, Kashad Lyons, DeMarcus.
LJ Fort. Right, sorry, not LT Walton. Sorry, got my guys confused.
Kashad Lyons, DeMarcus Ayers, Travis Feeney.
Yep.
Brandon Brown Dukes.
They're going to keep a running back, so okay, six.
Al-Haj Shabazz.
Yep.
Matt Filer.
Okay, they keep one, so yeah, it's eight.
Kobe Hamilton.
Okay, that's
and
nine.
And Hooks.
Oh, I was going to say, you don't have Hooks there yet. Okay, I like it. That's maybe exactly who I would keep as well, depending on how the 53 shakes out. So yeah,
I can like guarantee it. That those 10 won't be the 10.
That won't be right.
it's so easy to predict that you're going to be wrong when it comes to these things. Incredibly easy. But look, I mean, I hope to hit 51, 52 of this 53-man roster and. If the good Lord willing, I'll hit all 53. But we'll see. A couple of tough decisions in there for sure.
All right, man, that was fun. And like I say, the preseason's over, so on we go. We'll get back at this on Monday, even though it's a holiday. That'll get us a chance to get into the roster cuts. We'll get a beat writer for Wednesday. I mean, we got all sorts of good stuff going on. Of course, Tomlin Presser is Tuesday this week at noon. It'll be televised, as it is if you're in the local area. So that gets underway into its normal process. And, you know, with the Monday night game, we won't have a Monday podcast. We'll do it on Tuesday the following week. But we're on schedule. We are back at
Amen. And you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. Follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate to the show, please go to SteelersDepot.com and hit the donate button in the top right navigational bar. And here we go, Dave. It's going to be an interesting few days to watch this roster dance take place, and we'll be back to discuss it all on Monday.
Yep, and we'll make our quarterly appeal that if you're listening, download this on iTunes. If you review this, it's great. If we have periodic reviews, people update comments, and people can see whether people like or dislike the content, what we're doing. Please give us a review on iTunes. And as always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.